I've heard some good singing, and I know I want to thank our brother Seymour for that song. Definitely, definitely. It's all about knowing who that man is. Either you call him Savior, you call him friend, you call him Jesus, but you need to know him in order to call him. So at this time, just thank the elders for tapping me and asking me to step in, and I am very happy to do so. This happens to be Youth Sunday, or Young People Sunday, and the Lord gave me a number of young people to share with you today. So as I look around, I see a few young people, and I see a lot who think they're young. So this message is applying to everyone. So I want to start by saying this. Let me do this, because I know I'll hear about it later on. So I don't mind a mask, you know. When I was growing up, there was a very famous show that came on. We watched it every Saturday morning. It was called The Lone Ranger. And he was a good guy, but he always wore a mask, okay? So for those of you who are afraid of the mask, that's okay. If you're a good guy, don't worry about it. But I'd like to share with you this morning a few young people. Mostly they're going to be young men. And I want you to understand something, that these young men had character and integrity. And I bring that up because the youth of today need to understand character and integrity will carry you far. But you can only get that character and integrity if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the premise. So with that, the first thing I'd like to share with you is, as I looked up the definition of both of these words, and the first one, character, says features that make up and distinguish an individual, a quality of object closely associated with a person. That's your character. Integrity, firm adherence to a code of especially moral values, incorruptible soundness and completeness. That doesn't come by man alone. That only can come through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to start off first with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share some of these individuals with you. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we just thank you for the opportunity this morning to share your word and to see how you work in the lives of those who have faith in you, trust you, and depend upon you, oh God. We ask that this morning that those who are in the audience, no matter what their age is, they're still young. And to understand that it is never too late to develop a character and to have integrity. Because all of these things are important as we go forward. Lord, we ask that you would speak through me, hide me behind your cross, and let every word that comes out may touch the heart of an individual here. Not from me, but from you. So we give you praise in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen. Now, the title of this message is, You Are the Future. And it's important to understand that, because no matter where you are in life as a young person, you are the future. You are going to make decisions that will either affect your future or the future of someone else. Now, first and foremost, you're going to end up being a leader someplace, somewhere. I always tell, first of all, my grandsons, also the young people in Sunday school, I said, you are leaders. And they look at me and they say, well, you know, I'm just whatever. But when you do something and somebody else follows you, you automatically become a leader. Now, I remember a very famous commercial was out some time ago. And it was a statement. They were talking about Charles Barkley. And they said, you know, that Charles Barkley was a role model. And he said he's not a role model. But by virtue of his popularity and presence, others wanted to be exactly like him. There was a phrase that was going around, I want to be like Mike. Okay, why? Because Mike was the star? Because Mike hit all those shots? Well, he didn't hit all the shots, but nevertheless, he was out there and guys wanted to be like Mike. I'm going to talk to you about a young man named Joseph. And Joseph is an interesting story because it touches on things that happen to us in life as young people, as older people, as people in between. Now, I'm not referring to anybody here as being old. I don't care how old you are, you're still not old. I like Brother Bonet always says, you let me know when you're going to die and I can tell you whether you're old or young. Okay? I don't care whether when you're going to die. All I want you to know, as long as you're alive, you're young. Okay? When you're no longer alive, you're old. And you get older all the time. But Joseph faced a lot of difficulties. The first thing I want to look at about Joseph is this. He was betrayed by his brothers. You say betrayed? Yeah. They developed a jealousy and they didn't like him because he was confident and he was assured of himself. So they decided that they were going to get rid of him. So there was an empty well and they decided to toss him into that well, or a pit, if you would will. Now, for those of you who know the story, we always hear from the pit to the palace. But the journey from the pit to the palace was not an easy one. He met with a lot of obstacles. He was a young man that his brothers first put him in a pit. Then they sold him to their national enemy, Ishmaelites. And Israelites did not agree with each other. As a matter of fact, the descendants of those are still going on today. But they sold him to the enemy. And the enemy then sold him to another group of people, in which he found a little bit of redemption because he was hired by someone who was influential. But then for a while, even though things were going good, he ended up in prison because of a lie. Now, let's understand, what was the lie? The lie was accusing him of something he did not do, number one, but more importantly, because of his fear of God, he said he could not do this and sin against God. Young people, you need to have a moral code. Our society today is pulling away the moral code that many of us grew up with. And as a result, we have young people that are confused as to how to live their life, as to what is in God's order. Now, as he is accused of this, his master now sends him to prison. Now, I want you to understand something. God is working out all this in his life because for what he was accused of, prison was not the answer. Death was the answer. Okay? But God was watching out for him. So he went to prison. While in prison, he became, again, very popular. And here's something I know none of us want to hear. That here is an inmate and the warden is giving him control of the jail. We don't want to hear that, because we know if they're in there, they're not in there for anything good. But here he found favor amongst the jailkeeper, and he was in charge of many things. But not only that, individuals would come to him for advice. And as he gave them advice and things worked out, they would enjoy it. And he said to them, when you're returned to your station, remember me. You know, we have friends that as we go along and things move along, we want them to remember us, you know, when things get good. But when things get good, they forget about you. Because that's what we call, you hear now, fair weather friends. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But as they came out of prison and they went back and things were great for them, they forgot about him. But there came a time when there was a situation that only he could handle. And as a result, he was called for. And at that point, he made it from the prison to the palace. And he was, what I always was amazed at, is an individual that was a slave, a prisoner, and now he is the second most powerful man in a foreign country. Only God can do that. Nothing he could have done on his own could have put him in that position. Nothing at all. No matter how good he thought he was, or how nice he did things, only God could have put him in that position. And that's from the pit to the palace. That palace road, the road to that palace was not a smooth one. Victory was only his strong faith in God. That's what got him through that. God brought him through when all things seemed hopeless, but the Lord had his eye on him. When the Lord has his eye on you, you can rest assured things are going to work out for the better. And it may not seem that way because, you know, life is just not a smooth road. No matter what you see, I saw a program the other day and they were talking about how some people live. They look good. They smell good. They're wearing the finest things, but they're in trouble financially and maybe even physically, and they had to get rid of stuff. So this one gentleman was able to come in, and because he was able to buy those things, the house, the furniture, he was able to buy it all and give them relief because they were having a rough time, but his was good and he was able to take them out. The next young man I'd like to talk to you about is a young man who, through no fault of his own, was a captive. And he was in captivity. And he wasn't by himself. He had some friends. But this young man devoted himself to God. And there was something that I read, and I want to share it with you in Daniel chapter 1, if you would turn to that. Daniel chapter 1. And in verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor. God brought Daniel into the favor of and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. That's important to understand. Because even though it was nothing that Daniel did to get him in that situation, he was in a position that if he would not do as was requested, again, it would mean death. But here it is. Daniel is a leader, but how does he become one? Daniel didn't wait till he was in that situation now to start figuring out, how am I going to face this problem? Young people, you have the purpose in your heart. You have to do that long before situations get bad. You have to do it long before things get tight. Because when things get tight, you don't think rationally. You think irrationally. You think about ways how to get out of this or duck under that. But in order for you to be able to know what to do and how to do it, you have to plan first. Why is that important? Because Daniel was able not only to be able to lead himself, but some of his colleagues that were with him. Do you realize that if you have prepared yourself and you're an example to your colleagues, your classmates, your schoolmates, your friends on the street, and you're that example, when things get tough, they can look to you as you look to God. Because when you look to God, God is going to direct you on how to go. And that's the beautiful part about it, because now here's Daniel, and this is another one of those situations where Daniel is there. And they said, listen, I don't want to, you know, go against the king, because if I go against the king, it's going to mean my head. Daniel said, it's okay. Give me 10 days. The king was actually wanting them to have 3 years of preparation. But Daniel said, give me 3 days, 10 days. And in 10 days' time, water, vegetables, the special diet that he was accustomed to. You know what the word says? Daniel and his friends were healthier, more flesh was on them than those who took the king's meat. Listen, the delicacies of this world are a flash in the pan. There's no substance to them. They look nice, they glitter. But let me tell you, when you get hold of it, it's nothing. What they say, paper mache. Daniel not only excelled. Now, here's the competition. He's a captive from another country. The language that the king wants him to learn is a complex language. And on top of that, they also had to learn the social graces of the kingdom to be in the presence of the king, and also to speak the knowledge, the language, and know the knowledge of sciences and things. That's a lot to do in 3 years. Some of us go through 12 years of school and still struggle with that. And we only have to learn the language that we speak. But Daniel, as it came to be that when he was before the king, he was excellent in his knowledge and wisdom, far more than those who took part in the king's food and drink. You want to be sharp? You want to be wise? Accept Jesus. Let him be the one that guides you through your life. Just imagine in a foreign country, and have to learn all this. But you know what the beautiful thing is? As Daniel proceeds through his life, now he was a young man when he came into captivity, but he served under four kings. And not as a little handmaiden, he was their right hand man. They didn't consult, they didn't do anything until they consulted with him. Again, a young man from another country, another custom, and yet becomes the second most important man in a foreign country. Why? Because he purposed. And when I looked at that, that was so powerful. He purposed in his life not to defile God. That's not something that happened when he got there. It was happening before he got there. It was happening back in his country. But God had his eye on him. And Daniel moved forward. Now, there's two more I want to mention, but I don't want the young ladies here to think it's only men. There's a young lady called Esther. Esther was one of those who trusted in God. And there came a time where her people were about to be destroyed. And she was respectful because she could not go before the king without being requested. Because if she did that, again, her life was in danger. Those are some rough times. I mean, today it's like different, but she would have lost her life. But she came in such a way because God had already set the favor on her that when she stepped into the presence there, no matter what was happening, the king said, bid her forward. And she was able to deliver a message to the king to make him see that he was being deceived by someone he trusted. And in so doing, there was another young lady. Her name is Ruth. Again, she came from another country, another pathway. But she saw something in her mother-in-law that made her want to be with her. Now, here's the thing. We don't know what people see in us unless we hear it from them. But more importantly, we need to let people see Christ in us. Because if they see that, no matter what you're going through, there's a certain peace that you have because he's in there with you. And he is constantly telling you how to get through that situation. Don't trust your friends. They have no idea. They're just going by every wind and breeze that blows by. We see it happening right now. Our governmental leaders are not looking to God for guidance. They're looking for social correctness, as it were, being what you call politically correct. And we know politics today is corrupt. So there's no such thing as being correct unless you want to be a criminal and follow the political path. There's another young man, special young man, powerful young man. But he decided to follow his own path. He was a young man that before he was born, his mother was told, this is how you are to carry yourself because you are going to bring forth a son. And he's going to be a leader of my people. And he was unique because from birth, he was supposed to be and was a Nazarite. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is a special man called out to serve God, certain things he must do. No razor upon his head, no unclean food, no strong drink, because he has got to be a vessel in which God can use to lead his people and to make correct judgments. This man decided to follow his own desires. Who is this man? That's right, Samson. Now, we know about Greek mythology, about Hercules and how strong he was. We know about Atlas, who was pictured carrying the world on his shoulders. All that's mythology. Samson was the real deal. This man was to be the leader of God's people. He's found in Judges 15. And in there, it tells his story. Now, Samson had amazing strength. Now, if you ever seen any movies of the ancient world, a lot of them, the cities had huge gates to protect them because it was like a tribal thing going on. Now, he was there and they heard about him and they knew he had done some things that was against them. And they were angry and they were looking to destroy him. But here's how this comes about. He's a Jew and he is supposed to be leading the people against the enemy, the Philistines. Where do you think he goes to find his wife? Amongst the enemy. And then when things don't go right, he gets mad and he leaves. And then when it gets turned against him, he gets angry again. So they're going like, okay, he burns down their fields. They say, well, we're going to get this man because we can't have this going on. So he comes and he finds comfort again in another woman of the enemy. And while he's there, he hears of the plot that they're going to come for him. This is amazing because now he gets up and he takes the gates to the city with the post and carries it up on a hill. This is not your local gate like you have across the street. This is a huge gate. He takes it up a hill. Some of us can't walk a block with a bag. But here's the point. He did all that. God did not take his strength from him till the point where he completely rested in his own wisdom. And when you see him there joking around because he thinks he's invincible, let me tell you something. His character and his integrity was in question. He did not continue to serve God as he was called out. This young man ends up in a way that his potential was only partially used. Because yes, he destroyed a lot of the Philistines, but in so doing, he destroyed himself. Don't be one of those who is hanging out in your own self-confidence, that you have all the answers, that because you have a bachelor's and a master's and a PhD and a 3 other things and you got certificates all over the place that you are wise and you can make all these decisions. Listen, if it wasn't for God, you would not be able to earn one of those letters. So even if you have the whole alphabet behind you, but you don't have Jesus, you're nothing. And I say that because there are a lot of individuals today that have all these degrees, but if you listen to the wisdom that comes from them, you wonder what school they went to. Jesus is the only answer for you to be able to be as wise as you should be. That's the only way. Now, just before I wrap up, there's one individual that a lot of you know about. You've heard this story a lot. There's no name given to this young man, but this is a young man who was typical of, I got all the answers. I know what's going to happen. I know how to do this thing. And how he started off. And I say this to young people, respect your parents. You didn't hear me. Respect your parents. There is wisdom in them that you have no idea how deep it goes. And if your parents know Christ, it's deeper still. And you see, when we start thinking, because, you know, some of us, when we get to be like 11, 12, 13, we got the answers. Look, you guys, forget, I know what to do here. And then when you get into a jam, you kind of look over your shoulder and try to sweep it under the carpet so hope nobody can find out about it. But God always knows. And listen, when you mess up, even if it takes years, it will come to light. And you'll still have to answer for it. Now, here's this. In Luke 15, you know this very well. They call it the prodigal son, but I call it a wise man who thinks he's a wise man. He disrespected his parent. Why? Because, you know, all our parents, they always want to leave us something to make our going forward better. So he says to his father, and in that culture, when you speak to your father in such a manner, it's such a disrespect. You can be cut off, period. So what does he say to him? Give me what's coming to me. What's coming to him is a slap upside his head. Okay? Because you have to think about it. Where did he work to earn? What did he do to be able to say he's got part in this? He got born. And probably he did not even do anything around the house. But then he comes to his father, who's worked all his life, who's built up a nice place for him to be. Give me what's coming to mind, coming to me. His father is good because he gave it to him. Yeah, son, here it is. Now, one thing you have to understand with that story, okay? The boy got what he asked for in more ways than one, okay? I'm not talking about he got the money and he, you know, he got the money, he tripped off. He said, I'm going to live now. You see, I have what it's going to take for me to live. I got my inheritance, and I'm going to live. You see, a lot of young people think, okay, once I get my job, I'm going to get my car. Okay? I'm going to get my own place. I don't have to listen to mommy and daddy no more. I'm on my own. I've heard lots of young people who are in that situation, they be crying, oh man, I got to pay the rent. Man, this rent, these guys want more money, I, you know. And the car payment, oh my God, I take my car into the shop. I got a flat tire, I got to put this, I got to do the other thing. Hey, you didn't think about that when you was at home, right? Dad, can I borrow the keys to the car? And he give you the keys to the car and you go. Okay, and you had, you know, a good time. Now it's yours. All the responsibility is yours. You see, and you don't know what to do. Respect your parents. This young man goes to a foreign country and he's going to party. It's like young people today, it's not a foreign country, but it's right here in the city. You want to go out? I want to live in Manhattan. Manhattan is where it's happening. All the cool people live in Manhattan. I'm going to be up there. Well, now I think all the cool people are back in Brooklyn now, that in Dumbo, you know, Dumbo for, never mind. But anyhow, that's where I want to be. I want to be out there with the cool people because I can go and this and that. Listen, this young man was doing that. What happened? It's what's happening today too. There was a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land today. You know that? Things are going up. Inflation is up. I remember, I don't know, I don't want too many people to raise your hand with this one, but I remember when you could ride the train or the bus for 15 cents, a nickel and a dime. Okay? Those of you who can remember that, don't say nothing. You know what it costs to ride the bus today? Almost $3 one way. And if it doesn't transfer, which is something pretty new they're working on, if it doesn't transfer, it's another $3 to go a little bit further. All right? But his money ran out. And all the cool guys he was hanging out with, see ya. I don't know you. And now he is trying to figure out, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive? Now, listen, he's not thinking about living the lifestyle he used to live. He's thinking about, how am I going to survive? There's a difference between living and surviving. So now he's in the position now, I got to find something. Now, first of all, there's a famine. And you're not from this country, so nobody there is really going to really want to help you. So now what does he do? He finds a farmer who has a pig farm. Now understand this. He's a Jewish boy. And he's about to get the job to feed pigs. That's rough. Let me tell you this. As he looks at that, and he's there, and he's thinking, man, I am so hungry. You know, this pig slop is beginning to look okay. Because see, when you're hungry, almost anything that will fill that gap looks good. And then as he's thinking, he says, wait a minute. In my father's house, even the servants eat well. They have shoes. They have coats. My stuff is all raggedy. And I'm here in a pig pen. Now, I know we're city folk. We don't know too much about pig pens. But from all that I heard, it's mud. And the food is slop. Okay? Now, if you are a young man who has come from a home that you can say to your father, give me my inheritance. In other words, there was enough, there was money there that I could give you your portion and you could take it. And here I am now in a land that's stricken by famine and I'm feeding pigs. And I'm even about to attempt to eat their food. And he says, you know what? I think I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back home. Young people, don't wait till you're in a situation like that to want to go back home. Start right now, like Daniel did. Purpose in your heart, not to defile yourself. I don't care what the others are doing out there. And everybody is not your friend. That is the most misused word in the English language. And why do I say that? Because you go, oh, that's my friend over there. When times get tough, will he be with you? Will she be with you? No. Jesus is your friend. He's with you all the time. And for young people today, I know that it's not cool to say that I'm a Christian or I follow Christ or I go to church, because it's not cool. I remember times when people used to get on the bus with their Bible just like this. Now the Bibles are small enough, you can stick them in your pocket and you can go. Or better still, I know some years ago, just before COVID, Dr. Uter and myself, we had a discussion because a lot of the kids want to, oh, can we bring our phones to use our Bible? That's what we said. We said no. And you know why? Because when the teacher is teaching the class, you're on Facebook, you're on TikTok, you're on Twitter. You have no clue what's going on. And what's going on in the class in front of you is life. TikTok is a joke. Stop the TikTok. Open the word. Study the word. I will give you a challenge. Any young person in here, the book of Proverbs, one chapter every day for 30 days, every month. You'll be wiser than you think. I heard that challenge. I took it up. It's a blessing. Let me say to you before I leave. Develop character, have integrity. It can only come through knowing Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're on your own. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity of hearing from you. We thank you for your word, which is rich in knowledge, rich in wisdom. And as we, both young and maturing, we ask, oh God, that we turn to you to be individuals of character and integrity, that you may shine through us, that as we go forward, we may show individuals the love of Christ. We give you praise in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.